All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Ches 68. We're actually picking up at the top Samech Ches. So the Beit Rabbi Shlomo. So also remember what we established yesterday. We're talking, of course, in this parak. We're talking in this parak on the topic of Hafaras Nedarim. Remember, which is the process that a husband or a father has the ability to annul the vows of his wife slash daughter. So what we established yesterday is the following. When the girl is living in her father's home, before she is a bogeres, 12 years old and 6 months, so father has exclusive rights over annulment. When she becomes an arusa, so remember again, she's an arusa either as a nara or as a kitano. So lemaisa, again, father and aros, father and husband, have joint ability for revocation, and only together do they have the ability to revoke the vow. Then after erusin, meaning again nisuin and on, so husband has exclusive ability to annul the vow. That's what we ended off with yesterday. The other thing, Rabbi said, the interesting novelty that we saw yesterday was that an arus and a father together have stronger revocation rights or annulment rights than the husband after Nisuin by himself. Because remember again, the husband after Nisuin by himself, we established, he only has the ability to annul what? Vows that were made from marriage and on, but there's no ability to nullify that which was in the past. But interestingly enough, the combination of the father and the arus together have the ability not just to revoke, or just not just to annul present vows, but have the ability to revoke past vows as well. Fine. So Debir Rabbi Shmuel taught us, and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught the following. Bein ish li ishto, bein av lebito. So we'll say now, Debir Rabbi Shmuel is quoting another pasuk. Now remember, everybody is going to agree that this idea that during erusin, it is the father and the husband who have the joint ability to go ahead and annul the vow. So now the question just is, what is the source for that particular license? So set now, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel has a different pasuk. He says, "Bein ish leishto, bein av lebito." So the pasuk says, between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter. And the pasuk ends off by saying, "Benu areha, beis aviha." When she is a na'ara, she is in the home of her father. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? So we learn from here, "Mikan lenara hameurasa sha'aviha ubayla mefirin nidareha." From here we see that a betrothed na'ara, her father and her husband, have the ability jointly to annul her vows. Now, where do we see this in the pasuk? So we'll say, so take a look at the Ran, tap Ran on the page. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tano, bein ish li ishto, bein av lebito, mikan lenara hameurasa, sha'aviha ubayla mefirin nidareha, demashmalei, debinara hameurasa airi. So Debei Rabbi Shmuel says, it appears that this pasuk is referring to a betrothed girl, a betrothed nara. Midichsiv bahukra, benu areha beis aviha. Because the pasuk ends by saying that when she is a na'ara, she is in her father's home. Umid samach av lebito bahadi ish mashma da'av ubal mefir nidra. So we'll say, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel darshan the following. The pasuk juxtaposes these two ideas of bein ish leishto bein av lebito benu areha beis aviha. So the Gemara, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel understands that we must be talking about a girl who has both of these qualities, bein ish leishto and bein av lebito. What's that case? That's the case of a na'ara hamura. So that is the case of a betrothed na'ara. And from here you see, based on this pasuk, again, Rabbi Shmuel, it's not in any way explicit. But yet, again, it's what Rabbi Shmuel is inferring from this pasuk, that, again, that is talking about a girl who has this dual relationship both with her husband as well as with her father. What's the case where that exists? Where she has a bond with both of these individuals, that's na'ara hamurasa. That's the case of a betrothed girl who's ultimately, again, in her husband's domain in that she's married, but yet, on the other hand, also in still living in her father's home. And therefore, from here we see that in order to annul her vows, both father and husband must participate. I uletana de Rabbi Shmuel im hayosi ali ishmai avidle. So Rabbi says, here's what's interesting. Remember again, Yesterday's daf, we had the Gemara quoting from Rabba, and Rabba learned out this concept that a na'ara hameurasa requires her father and her husband to annul her vows, and we learned it out from the pasuk of ve'im hayo sihya li'ish. That was yesterday's daf. So the Gemara now says, fine. Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, the Shiva. So you want to learn out this concept from a different pasuk. You want to learn it out from Bein Ish LeIshta Bein Av LeBito. Fine. What do you do with the other pasuk? What do you do with Rabba's pasuk of Vim Hayosia LeIsh? What do you learn out from that pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Mukim LeIdoch DeRava. Oh, we learn it. We use it to learn out the other statement of Rava. I will say, now, what is the other statement of Rava? So we'll say, take a look at the Ran again for just a moment. Because Rabba's going to say later on, Sunday's daf, Makish kodme havia shnia, the kodme havia rishona. I will say, we will see that there are different gersos, as if it's Rabba or if it's Rava. Fine, the Ran also changes it to Rabba. So listen to this. So the Ran says that we're going to see later on that the Gemara's Rabba is going to equate Kodme Havia Shnia, Lekodme Havia Rishona. That Rabba say her state prior to her second marriage mirrors her state prior to her first marriage. What does that mean? Rabbanan Sfir Lehu, the Tarti Shamas Mina, Iker Kralanara Muras, Davio Baila Mefirina Dorao, Utrain Avios La Kushe Shniel Rishono. So what does this mean? That her state before the second marriage is like her state before the first marriage. So I'll say, if you go down to Tosus, so Tosus is in the left-hand margin. So Tosus, about halfway down in the short line, says, Mi boile lechidi idach derava, didarish lekamon meis habal nisrok no reshus ha'av, so we'll say, listen to this. So we will see later on that Rava or Rabba, depending on the different gears, says that if a girl is married and then her husband dies, so ultimately husband's revocational rights transfer back to the father. Now again, this would only apply in a case where the girl is not yet a bogeres. If she's a bogeres, then obviously no one has those rights. I mean, husband has the rights during marriage, but those rights will never revert back to the father. But let's say the husband dies and the girl is still a nara. So we're going to see the position of Rava, Rabba, depending on the girsa, will be that those husband's rights ultimately go back to the father. Now, the Tosis goes on, he says, Vim tomar vaha itzdirich ha dehayos yeh laha drasha deleel, shabal mefa min ha'irisin, v'yishlomar dechevan dehava ma'asi v'michtav, hayo uksiv tihyeh shma minah de'asa lomar nesrok noshos la'av. Fine. So we're not going to get into the details of that drasha right now. We'll see that on Sunday. But the idea of Bosei is like this. So the Tana debate, Rabbi Shmuel, so they want to say, we learn out the concept that during Erisin, a father and a husband must jointly revoke vows. And we learn that from the Pasuk of Bein Ish LeIshta Bein Av LeBito. Sa'ai, what do they do with the Pasuk of Rava from yesterday's Dafim? Hayosia LeIsh. So we learn out from there, says the Gemara, that it is only during the marriage that the husband has revocation rights. But should the husband die, those rights revert back to the father, and father will have exclusive revocation rights, or annulment rights is the better word, annulment rights over the Nadarma of his daughter. I have a Rava. Hi, the Tani Devei Rabbi Shmuel, my Avile. So we'll say now the Gemara flips the question. So Rava, who in yesterday's daf learned out the idea that during Irusin it is a father and a husband who must jointly annul any vows, what does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Shmuel, Devei Rabbi Shmuel, of Bein Ish LeIshta Bein Av LeBito? What does he learn out from that pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Mi boile lomar shehabal mefer nedarim shebeino lebeino. Oh. You know what this pasuk teaches us, according to Rava? That a husband has the ability to annul nedarim, that impact between him and her. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Ran again. This is the second, not of the widest, but of the middle lines in the Ran. Lomar shaba meifer nedvarm shebeino lebeino. Dinidre inui nefesh behedja ksivi. Kol nedar vechol shvuas iser la'anos nefesh. And here's what's interesting. So we will get into the discussion about what types of nedarim does the husband have the ability to annul. So here's what we know. So nedarim that are afflictive in nature, meaning nedarim ultimately that are afflictive to the woman herself, that's explicit in the pasuk that a husband has annulment rights over those nedarim. Here's what's interesting. The Ran goes on. He says, however, he says, Ubein ishli ishto itzricha ledvarim shebeino lebeina. I will say, now what about nidarim that are not afflictive in nature, but they just have an impact on the marriage. And now again, we'll see examples of that. So remember, that's not explicit in the Torah. So comes along Rava, and Rava says, oh, that's what we use the pasuk of Bein Ish Le'ishto. Oh, what does Bein Ish Le'ishto teach us? That a husband has the ability to revoke any kind of vow that what? That has some type of impact on their marriage. We'll see, by the way, it doesn't have to be a dramatic impact, but any level of impact. So again, according to Rava, this pasuk that the Bein Rabbi Shmuel is quoting is not teaching us that during Erusin, a husband and father both have to jointly annul the vow. We know that already from the pasuk that he quoted yesterday, Avim Hayosi Aleish. So what does he do with this pasuk? Oh, this pasuk teaches something very important. This pasuk sheds light on the type of nidarim that a husband has the ability to annul. Not only nidarim that are afflictive in nature, but even what? Even nidarim ultimately, even nidarim that some have some level of impact on the marriage. See, by the way, supposed to now the Gemara is a very interesting kasha. Megas Gaius Omaklish Kalish. So let's say, here's what we've established. We've established that in order to annul vows during Erusin, you know you need the joint collaboration of father and husband. Okay. Now what that tells me is that if I go ahead and, let's say just one of them annuls their part. So father and husband both have a joint interest in this woman. So what happens? Now woman makes a neder. Father annuls his part. Husband doesn't annul his part. So we'll say, so what is the impact? So now we understand that the nether certainly is not fully annulled, but what is there some level of impact as a result of a partial nullification of a nether? So that's the thing I was asking about. By the way, the kasha is Megas Gaius O Maklish Kalish. Now, what do these terms mean? So Megas Gaius Maklish Kalish means if you take a look at the Ran, he says, Kilomar. Aros she'eno mefer ela b'shut fasei da'av. So remember, let's say I have a husband, an aros, who is only able to annul the vow in concert, in partnership with the father. Kishe mefer chalkov, let's say the husband annuls his part. Megas gayas, kolomar shechote chatzi haneder legamrei mevatlo, vechatzi ava'acha nishar chazak, ki batchilav lo iklish leklal. So it was, oh, Miklash Kalish, Delonema Techto Chatzianander, Delavata Lupalga, Vidach Padaki de Koikoi, Ella Bahafaras Haaros, Miklashu de Kalishle Kulineder. So let's listen to this Kasha. So let's say again, the husband annuls his part, wife makes it, the husband says, I annul my part of the Neder. So what is the impact of partial annulment on the Neder? Now there are two ways you could possibly look, at it. So possibility number one is that maybe what that does is it removes half of the nether. Now, we'll see what that means in just a moment, but maybe literally what it does is it annuls 50%. The other possibility is, I know it doesn't annul 50%, but you know what it does? It generally downgrades the nether. It downgrades the nether. So now the nether itself is no longer as impactful, and we'll see what that means in just a moment. Or a second possibility, or third possibility is what? Nothing. Is that, again, partial annulment has absolutely no impact on the nether. So we'll say, so go back to the Gemara for just a moment. So hechi kami bailam. So the Gemara says, explain to me exactly how this plays out. So watch this. Kigom dinadra mitrin zesin. Well, so listen to this case. A woman goes ahead and makes a neder. I'm not gonna eat two kizesim of
Big Macs,
right. Two kizesim of Big Macs is a good idea also. Right? I'm not gonna eat two kizesim of apples. Whatever, just keep it easy. Olives, right. I'm not going to eat two olives. You could do that as well, correct? Hey, I'm not going to eat these two apples. I'm making another. I'm not eating these two apples. Okay. And then what happens? Veshama aros, the husband hears. And what happens? Veheferlo. And he says, I annul that vow. And what happens? Veach lasonun. And she eats the two apples. So what's this? So the shayla is now, what's the impact? So listen to this. So I say, if you want to say that lamaisa, when there is partial annulment, so that means 50% of the nether is gone. So remember again, in a case like this, lakye, she's going to get malchus firebosai, because she ate both apples, which means it's very nice she's not chayeves for one, but what? She is chayeves for the other. Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. If you want to say that it takes away 50% of the neder, she's still going to get malchus. Because even though, again, because the aros, because the husband annulled his part, so one apple, one kizayis became mutter, the other one still remains in its state of iser. And she'll get malchus for that. So the Ran just points out over here, in this case, okay, you could say she'd get malchus, but she'd only get malchus when? If she eats both apples. Because if she only eats one of the apples, she won't get malchus. Why? Because we're not sure exactly which apple the Arus's annulment devolved upon. But if she eats both, which means she definitely consumed the 50% that was usher, so she'll get malchus for violation of that particular of the neder. That's megas gaius. However, back to the Gemara, iam rinan miklash kalish. But if you say that when there is a partial annulment of the neder, so you know, partial annulment doesn't knock off 50% of the neder. What it does is it downgrades the severity of the neder in general. Then I'd say what iser ba'almahu. Then I'd say, you know what? It's true. When she eats the apples, she's violating an iser, but what? But there's no malchus. There's no malchus. Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Ve'i amrit miklash kalish leka malchus daha kalish lekula nidra v'leka ela isura ba'ama. So it'll be usir, but the partial annulment generally downgraded the nether. So the Gemara says, "My." So what is that halacha? So here, about the Gemara just giving an example of where there is a nafkamina. So this is fascinating. And what's even more fascinating about this, and the Gemara will challenge this later on, is the Gemara is taking for granted that partial annulment has some level of impact on the neder. Even though, again, before we started this, we would have assumed that the Gemara was going to answer partial annulment. That means that's meaningless. That has absolutely no impact. From here, you see that it has a partial impact. The shaila is, how do we measure the impact? Do we say it lops off 50% of the neder? Or do we say, no, 100% of the neder is intact, but the general severity of the neder has been downgraded?
So you could
say the Mishnah is talking in the absolute sense. In order to have the neder fully revoked, then ultimately you need both participation of husband and father. But who's to say that there's not some impact on the neder if one of them revokes? Partial. So the Gemara says the following. Because remember, all the Mishnah says is hefera av lo hefera bal, hefera av lo hefera av, eno mufar. So what does eno mufar mean? It's not totally annulled. Who says it means it's not some kind of partial annulment that
then
takes place?
Why give the example, and we don't even need to say that if one does and one doesn't?
Oh, so we'll see. So Gemara's going to ask that kasha. Especially on the positive inference. So the Gemara says, "Mai." So what's that? Tashma. So we'll say now the Gemara is going to go through a couple of interesting cases, which actually we're going to see in Sunday's daf. So the Gemara says, "Emasai amru meis habal mitzvah kereshos la'av." So we'll say, when do we say that if the husband dies, his power of annulment transfers over to the father? Meaning we alluded to this at the beginning of the daf today, that if a husband dies, his ability to annul vows transfers back to the father. When do we say that? Bizman shelo shama habal. Kodem Sheyamus. Well, so listen to this. Let's say a woman made a neder, and the husband didn't hear about it before the husband died, so meaning he never even had a chance to annul it. Oh, Sheshama Veshasak. Or he heard about it, and he was quiet. But I will say again, Oh, Sheshama Veshasak, we're going to see, ultimately means that he was quiet. He was quiet, but he died on the day that he heard it. We'll say what we're going to see is that Lamaisa, again, the way it works is when a husband or a father hear the woman, bless you, hear the woman make a neder, they have that day to annul the neder. If they hear about the neder, don't say anything for that day, and we'll discuss what that day means. Is that a 24-hour period, or is that just until nightfall? We'll discuss that. But the idea is if they hear it and they don't say anything until the next day, then ultimately the neder is considered to be, or they don't say anything that day, the neder is considered to be valid. So in this case over here, where husband died before he ever heard the neder, or he heard it, but what? But or he heard it. Or he heard it and didn't say anything, but he died on that day. Or he heard it and he annulled it. Umes bo bayom, and he died on that day. In that case, Rabosa, we say, Zohi Shashaninu, Meis Haban, Nisrok Rishos Lav. Rabosa, in those cases, so again, remember, and this, essentially what happened in this case over here is, the husband did not actively uphold the nether. He didn't actively endorse it. How did he not actively endorse it? Either he didn't hear it, he never heard it before he died, or he heard it before he died, but he died on the day that he heard it, right? And therefore, again, he didn't actively endorse it, or he heard about it, and he actively annulled it himself, partial annulment. Then, in those cases, when he dies, his ability to annul the nether, right, transfers over to the father, and the father has the ability to single-handedly annul the nether. Fine. That's case number one. We'll say, if you take a look, if you take... Yes?
Was the case of Shammah Umes, and Shammah with Hefer, and then he died that day?
Correct. That is good. In those cases, remember again, and essentially, what we're, in all of these cases, as long as there wasn't an active affirmation by the husband, when the husband dies, his rights of annulment transfer over to the father. Father has the ability to annul the nether. But let's say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. So Rashi says, so v'ha'av, actually, yeah, v'ha'av atzmo, last Rashi on the page, me'is ha'ba'am, the sorkan roshus la'av, so Rashi says, v'ha'av atzmo mefer kulo, bizman shelo hefer ha'ba'al, v'chein bizman shehefer ha'ba'al, chozra avu mefer eschelko, kidisanya alav masis, Rabosai, in situations where the husband did not annul it fully, or at all, or in a case where the husband did annul his part, then the father has the ability to go ahead and annul the nether. We will see that this is one of the strengths that a father has over an Aris husband. An Aris husband can never single-handedly annul the nedarim. He needs the father's involvement, but a father can annul the nedarim even without the Aris. Take a look at the last Tosfos on the daf for just a moment. Since in all of these cases the husband did not actively affirm the neder, the father has the ability to annul the neder after the death of the husband. But what says, we're going to see in just a moment, but if you have a case where the husband did actively uphold the neder or affirm the neder, then if the husband dies, father does not have the right to revocation. Now, let's go on. So Gemara says, Zoi Shashaninu, these are the cases where we say, Meis Habam Nitzorak Rosh Haslav. So we'll say, in all of these cases where either the husband didn't hear about the neder, or the husband did not actively affirm the neder, when the husband dies, his rights of revocation go back, vest back with the father, and the father has the ability to annul the vow single-handedly. Amud Beis. Aval. Im Shama V'kiyem. Well, so listen to this. If the husband heard of the vow, V'kiyem, and he actively upheld it, oh, Sheshama V'shasak, or he heard the vow, and he didn't say anything, Umeis biyom shela'acharav, and he died the next day, which Rabosai means what? He was alive long enough after hearing about the neder that his silence is acquiescence. So meaning in these cases, Rabosai, what's happened? The husband either has actively or passively affirmed the neder, in that case, and then he dies, in yachal hafer. In that case, then what? Then again, when the husband dies, the father no longer has the right to go ahead and annul the neder. And therefore, again, in this case, again, we would say that ultimately the rights of the husband do not vest back with the father. Or next case, shama avia behefrela. We'll say now this is the first two cases where the husband died. Now we're going to deal with the father died. Shama avia behefrela. Similarly, again, let's say her father heard her make the neder. He annulled it, meaning for his chilek. He said, "I'm annulling my chilek of this neder." So what happens? Behefrela velo hispik balishmoa ad shemei saav. Now, in this case over here, the husband only hears about it. Excuse me, or the husband did not hear about it until the father died. So we'll say, so in this case over here, father annulled his part, father died, and husband did not even know about the neder before the father died. Okay, so what's the halacha in this case? Zohi Shashaninu, this is what we learned. Meis ha'av lo nisrokna rishus habam. So we'll say, in this case over here, when the father dies and the husband, so father annulled his part, husband didn't even know about the neder, only finds out about it after the father died. I will say, in this case, we do not say that the rights of the father vest with the husband. Meaning, again, this idea is, which I will say, by the way, if you think about it, there's a logical argument with this. The logical argument is not an argument, the logical idea is, a father had rights in exclusive annulment of the nedarim of his daughter, right? Every father has rights of exclusive annulment in his daughter until she becomes a nara. Now what happens? Now she becomes betrothed to a man, because all these cases are irisin cases. She becomes betrothed to a man, which now means someone else shares in those rights. So there's a logic to say that if that other individual, namely the husband, dies, what happens to those rights? They go back to the father where they originally were. Remember, the Arus husband never had exclusive rights. He never had exclusive rights. The most he has is what? A joint ability to annul. Yes, it's true. When they then enter into Nisuin, he does have exclusive rights. Therefore, what the Gemara is saying over here is if a woman made an eder, father annulled his part. Husband didn't know about it. Husband, and we'll see, it doesn't matter if he knows about it or not, but husband didn't know about it, and then father dies. Those paternal rights do not vest back with the husband, and therefore, again, really, he has no power of annulment over this particular neder. We'll say, take a look. Take a look at the rush for just a moment. Shama Aviha. Shama Aviha. It rushes in the left-hand margin. Shama Aviha Vehefer. Father heard about the neder and he annulled it. Below his pick about lishmoa ad shemesah, husband didn't hear about it until the father died. So yishashanino meisa avlo nitzrok nor shesabal the inli yachal hafir chelko, and therefore the husband does not have the ability to annul his part. So the Rush goes on to discuss a more in depth question, which we're not going to get into right now, but you'll look at it on your own. Next case, shama habal, shama baila. Let's say husband hears about the neder the hafir lo and he annulled it. So shama baila, husband hears and he annuls it. Below hispik ha'av lishmoa ad shemes habal. And what happened? The husband, the father, did not have a chance to go ahead and. Did I skip? No, we're good. Shashama baila the hefer lo. So husband went ahead and heard the neder and he annulled his part. Below hispik ha'av lishmoa ad shemes habal. And the father didn't have the opportunity to. He didn't even hear about the neder before the husband died. So what happens in that case? Zohi Sheshaninu, this is what we learned. Meis Habal, Nisrok Narushus La'av. This is the case where we say that if the husband dies, the power of annulment goes back to the father. Fine. Next case. Shama Baila Vehefela. Well, so let's say the husband hears about the neder and he annuls it. Velo Hispik Ha'av Lishmoa Ad Shemes. And then what happens? The father didn't even hear about it, and then he died. So the father died before even knowing about the neder. So Rabbi say, what's the halacha? Ein habal yochal lahafer. The husband does not have the ability to go ahead and annul the vow. Why? She'ein habal mefer ele b'shutfus. Because the husband only has the ability to annul the vow, only in conjunction, in partnership with the father. That's the common denominator of all of this. So we'll say, go on to the next half for just a moment. So Samech Tes. And one more case. Shama Avia Vehefer Lo. We'll say, listen to this case. Father heard the neder, and he annulled his part. He annulled it. Velo hispik haba lishmoa ad shemes. And the husband didn't have the opportunity to hear it before he died. So Choser Ha'av Umeifer, and the husband dies. Choser Ha'av Umeifer Chelko Shalbal. So the husband, so the father has the ability to what? To go back and to annul the chelik of the husband. Chelik of the husband. Okay, so we'll say, so you see the common denominator in all of this is what? Is that Lameisa, again, if father has the ability to essentially inherit the husband's chelik, husband or husband's rights, husband does not have the ability to inherit the father's rights. I also want to draw your attention specifically to this last case. Remember what happened in this last case? Woman makes a neder, father heard it and annulled it, and the husband never even heard about it. And then what happens? Husband dies. So what does the Braisa say? Chozer Ha'av, the father has the ability to go back and annul the portion of the husband. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Nasan, Hein, Hein, Dibre Beis Shammai. Both say, this last case, these words are the words of Beis Shammai. Both say, look at the Ryan for just a moment. So Amar Rabbi Nasan, Hein, Hein, Dibre Beis Shammai, De Kasavri, De Yachol Ha'av, Lahafer, V'chi hai gavna. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Nosa, excuse me, that Beis Shammai says that a father has the ability to annul in this way. U'ba'afaras chalko shalbal b'lechud sagi mishun de'afara da'av kevan de'lomeis lo ebat lilei. So we'll say, listen to this. This actually we'll explain in just a moment. However, Beis Hillel says, ein yachal lahafer. Beis Hillel says, no, there is no ability for the father to go ahead and fully annul this vow. And if you take a look at the Ran again, he says, Val Beis Hillel omrim, ein yachal lahafer klal, va'afilu chozer u'mefer chelko v'chele kabal. So there was a, what's the machlokis over here? Shema mino lebeis Shammai, megas gayis, lebeis Hillel miklash kalash. We'll say, listen to this. So look what the Gemara said. The Gemara wanted to suggest that last statement of Shama Aviyah, the father hears about the neder and annuls his portion. Husband didn't even hear about the neder. Husband dies. What did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that father has the ability to go back and to annul the portion of the husband. And I will say, remember how this whole thing started? Right? How did we get into this whole discussion? Because we asked a simple question. What was the simple question? We understand that you can't fully annul a vow without joint participation of the father and the husband. What was our kasha? Our kasha is, let's say one of them does annul their portion. So what is the impact of their partial annulment on the neder? So remember, we floated two possibilities. Possibility one was what? Megas gayis. It literally lops off half of the neder. Partial annulment lops off half of the neder. Other possibility was what? No, the entire neder is intact, but the severity of the neder, miklash kalish, is weakened. The entire neder is weakened. It's just taken down a notch in severity. So what do you see from here? So listen to this case. So Beis Shammai says, woman made a neder, father hears about the neder, he annuls his part, husband never heard about it, now husband dies. So what did the Braisa say? That father has the right, father inherits the husband's chilek of the neder and has the ability to go back and annul the husband's chilek. These are the words of Beis Shammai. So we'll say, what do you see Beis Shammai holds? Beis Shammai clearly says, the Gemara says, that when you have two people who have rights of annulment, and one of them annuls, the other did not, that represents megas gayis. That is a 50% annulment of the neder. That's why the Braisa says that the father now has the ability to go back and what? Go back and annul the husband's chelek. So according to Beis Shammai, when you have partial annulment of a neder, megas gayis, it literally lops off half of the neder. On the other hand, Beis Shammai holds that, no, that's not what happens. Rather, what happens? Miklash kalish. The neder itself is still intact, but lemaisa, again, the neder itself is just downgraded. The isser itself is weakened, to which the Gemara says, Shema Minah. And on both sides, this indeed seems to be fundamental machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about, again, what we do in the realm of partial annulment of a neder. According to Beis Shammai, if there's partial annulment, Megas, guys, it literally lops off 50% of the neder. That's why the lashon of the Braisa over here is that the father can go back and annul the husband's portion. According to Beis Hillel, miklash kalish, the entire neder is intact, but the severity of the neder is minimized. So we'll say, listen to this. So this, the Shulchan Aruch brings this down, this halacha, and Hilchos Nedarim, Simin Resh Lamed Dalet Sifhein. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Vim Hefer Echad Belo Asheni. If ultimately one of the parties, let's say the father or the husband, doesn't really matter who, annuls the neder without the involvement of the other, Eino Mufar, the neder is not annulled. The neder remains intact. However, Umihu Chelko Shalsheni Nishar Kalush. The hekel is suro, right? But however, again, Avosain, what's interesting is we paskin miklash kalish. So we paskin that even though partial annulment does not release the woman from the neder at all, even 50% of the neder, but it definitely, it lessens the severity of the iser, which will both say, on a very practical level, would mean the following, that lamaisa, if I make a neder, and then I violate the terms of my neder, so what's the halacha? The halacha is I get malchus, I get lashes. Why do I get lashes? Because lo yachel dvara, I violated a biblical prohibition. However, in this kind of case, where one of the parties annulled the neder, the severity of the neder is lessened, and ultimately, again, although if I don't comply with the neder, the woman doesn't comply with the neder, it is usur, nevertheless, she will not get malchus for that infraction. Saloch lamais, in this case, we paskin miklash kalish, the severity of the neder is lessened, we ultimately paskin it like Beis Hillel. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you a brief idea on the Parsha. So, you know, we know in the beginning of Parsha's Veschanan, so there's a very dramatic episode, a very dramatic discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So remember again, how does the Pasuk start? So ultimately, the Pasuk begins by saying, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time saying, and Va'eschanan means, I didn't just say, but rather I supplicated before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is making one last effort to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael, to be able to somehow get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and revoke or somehow lessen the sentence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed down. So what's amazing over here is the following. The Gemara notes that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah is very specifically structured. First, Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Shevach. Hashem Elokim Atach Ilos Al Aros Sabdecha Eskad Lecha Vesedcha Chazaka. Ribono Sha'olam, you began to show me your greatness. You've begun to show me your strong hand. Who is like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ebrana ve'er'eh es ha'aretz ha'tova sheve'iver ha'yardein. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here the structure of tefillah. Right? The Gemara says, remember, what's our structure of Shemona Esrei? First there's Shevach, first there's praise, and then there's Bakasha, then there's request. So the Gemara, we don't just launch into our requests, and this is what we have in Shemona Esrei. We have the Bracha of Avos, the Bracha of Gvuros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so strong, you're so incredible, and then we begin to ask our requests. So where do we get this model of Shevach, of praise, and then Bakasha, then request? From this week's parasha, from Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is a very simple question that one could ask. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu did not get what he wanted. Right? Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu asked God to answer, I wanted to come to Shem Baruch Hu say to him. By the way, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not just say no. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Rav Lach, Al Tosef Daber Eli Od Badavar Hazeh. Emotional almost sounds like a parent. Every single parent has had this moment where, okay, I want to encourage open dialogue with my child. Please, let's absolutely talk. But there comes a point in time where my kid asks me for the same thing over and over and over, and the parental response is, the conversation is over. The conversation is over. Do not bring this up anymore, because the answer is no. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam slammed the door in Moshe Rabbeinu's face. Be quiet. You have enough. The discussion is over. And in fact, this is the last time. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes he can't bring it up anymore. So the kasha is obvious. If we're looking for, remember, so Chazal say, oh, this is the paradigm for tefillah. But they both say, why is this the paradigm for tefillah if Moshe Rabbeinu did not get what he wanted? There are so many other good paradigmatic examples of prayer where the supplicant got what they petitioned God for. Why use this as the paradigm? Say, Elamai, what do you see from here? You see from here something amazing. This is the greatest example of tefillah, because I will say the goal of tefillah is not to get what you want. The goal of prayer is to establish dialogical connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of tefillah is to establish relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And from that perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was a resounding success. Why was it a resounding success? Because he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were engaged in dialogue. Moshe Rabbeinu asked something. It's true he had a request, and it's true that that request was denied. But at the end of the day, that dialogical connection was absolutely present. And what are Chazal trying to teach us? Chazal are teaching us an incredible lesson, not just in terms of tefillah. You see, sometimes we take a very childish and elementary view towards our Yiddishkeit, towards our Judaism. And we assume that we do the things that we do because I want something. So, you know, if I'm a little bit more immature, the something is money, the something is some type of payback in this world. And if I'm a little bit more spiritual, perhaps the something is olam haba, right? I want a good afterlife. Well, so that's not why we do the things that we do. At the end of the day, we are afforded and we are given an incredible privilege to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an incredible privilege to have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Rabbosai, that is the goal. That ultimately, that's the finish line, the relationship itself. is the most rewarding thing that one could ever achieve in life. Okay, if you get some schar, if you get some reward in this world, it's gravy. And if you get a good portion in the afterlife, it's gravy. Those are wonderful things. And yes, those are positive byproducts of the relationship. But the ikr of what we do, the ikr of our avoda, is not because of something I'm going to get, not some type of either material or spiritual payoff. But it's because we have the ability to serve and to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest thing we get from our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That in and of itself is the greatest gift. And that's what's happening in the beginning of this week's parasha, and that's what Chazal are expressing in the Gemara. Chazal used this as the paradigm purposely because the supplicant did not get what they asked for. I say, you might say, resounding failure. Chazal say, no, unmatched success. Why unmatched success by Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he demonstrated that the relationship was present. It's true. The answer was no to the request, but the incredible dialogical connection showed that the relationship was beautiful, was vibrant, and was in existence. And this is very important. It's important for us, and it's important for the chinuch that often we give our children. Because sometimes what our children see from us is a dedication, but a dedication with an expectation of a payoff. And then when something does not go our way and they see our frustrations, they say, well, I guess my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all because I need stuff. And it's important for us, and it's important als chinuch, to be able to show our children, it's not about what you get in a physical or even spiritual sense. It's about the relationship. It's about every single time that I daven, I bring myself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single mitzvah that I do brings myself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that by itself is the greatest success. And that by itself is the greatest privilege. So we should be zochem yirtzeh Hashem to recognize that although, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower each of us with incredible material blessings and with incredible spiritual blessings, but even if for some reason that does not occur in the way we would have hoped, let us realize that our spiritual service is still successful. Because if we have the right mindset, if we have the right kavanos, every single mitzvah, every single chesed, every single word of tefillah brings us a bit closer and makes the relationship a little bit more vibrant.